So a few years ago, I took a personal retreat. I do those occasionally, and they're always life-giving. And I remember I took one out to Aldersgate Camp. They have a deal where Kentucky United Methodist pastors get a free night per year, and so I was taking advantage of that. And I was staying there in a cottage. And it was January of 2020. And I sat at the kitchen table of one of the cottages, and I began to journal. And I began to reflect on the previous year, 2019. And I remember I wrote these words down in my journal. Reflections on 2019, hard as hell. Last year, I faced significant challenges. And no joke, I filled 3 pages, a long list of all the challenges that I faced that year. My list of challenges covered all aspects of my life. 2019 for me was a really hard year. I'm sure y'all have had some hard years lately. After I finished writing all my challenges down, I then started to make a different list. And that list had the title, Lessons Learned in 2019. And I came up with 19 lessons that I learned that year. And every single one of those lessons that I learned, they came from great struggle and pain and challenge. They weren't easy lessons, but I needed to learn them. For example, one lesson that I learned was the right path is usually not the best path or the easiest path to take. The right path is usually not the easiest path. So many times in 2019 and since then, I would face a challenge, and when thinking of how to respond to that challenge, I was tempted to want to take the easy way out. But more often than not, that was not the right path to take. Usually doing the right thing is the harder choice. 2019 was a year of training. It was a year of discipleship for me. It was a year of learning and growing and changing. Even though it was a hard year, I look back on it and it was a year of transformation, of deep change in my life, and a lot of growth. And isn't that how life works? Do y'all have that experience in your life? That through our struggles and our challenges, we often grow and change, and sometimes by the grace of God, we become better. God allows us to go through a lot. God allows us to go through incredible struggle. And I believe that even at times, God leads us into hard situations. And those challenges and those struggles are often opportunities for us to be refined, and to grow, and to learn. I'm sure you're not surprised to know that my training did not stop in 2019. 2020 proved to be even probably a harder year than 2019. Y'all know 2020 was a hard year. And I'll say every year since 2020 has been really hard in so many different ways. But through it all, I believe that God has been working in my life, training me, developing me, and shaping me in many ways into a better version of myself. You know, as we think about our bodies that we've been given, our bodies can't grow and strengthen without pain and struggle, right? Muscles are formed through tearing them down and breaking them down, through exercise and through hard work. And then with proper rest, they can grow back stronger. And this is true for all parts of us as people. We grow, we transform, we strengthen through struggle, through pain, and through challenge. You know, we've been talking about this story of the Exodus. And a big part of the story is that the Israelites spent 40 long years in the wilderness. And I often wonder, why did they have to spend so long in the wilderness? They were set free from slavery, but then had 40 hard, long, painful years in the wilderness. Why? You know, I can't claim to understand God's intentions and motives, but I wonder if one of the big reasons God kept them in the wilderness for 40 years was because they had a lot to learn. They had a lot they needed to learn about God. They needed to learn about one another in their community. They needed to learn about themselves. God didn't only set them free, but God was forming them into a community with a very distinct identity, and they needed training to become who they were meant to be. The Israelites had so much to learn. And they weren't going to learn through just hearing a sermon or reading a book or sitting and listening to Moses teach them. Just like us, they needed to learn their lessons through experience. They needed to train. And their training in the wilderness probably had some lighthearted, fun moments to it, but often it was very tough. Training in the dangerous desert is not an easy thing. We're going to look at a story this morning from Exodus chapter 17. But this story is actually connected to two other stories that come before it. All three stories are about struggle and they're about lack of resources. The Israelites say they crossed the Red Sea, as we talked about last week. The waters parted and they marched on their way to freedom. And then God led them through a desert, the desert of Shur. And in the desert, they struggled to find a very important resource. They struggled to find water. They arrived at a place called Marah, and Marah had water, and they really needed water. So I imagine they were excited. 3 days without much water, that means you're about to die. They arrived at Marah, they found water, only to discover that the water was undrinkable. It wasn't safe to drink. It was bitter and unsafe. Now just imagine their frustration. They were so thirsty in the desert, struggling to survive, and they find water, but it's undrinkable. They go to Moses and they complain to Moses. Moses goes to God and God gives Moses a command. He says, hey, throw a log in the water, and then the water will become drinkable. Very mysterious story. And he does it. And it becomes drinkable, and they drink the water, and it quenches their thirst. Crisis averted. But then, after that, God leads them into another desert, the desert of sin. And in that desert, they grew very hungry. Another thing they needed, a very important resource, food. They could not find anything to eat. They complained to Moses, and last week we talked about this. What did God do? He provided quail in the evenings, and this mysterious food, manna, in the mornings. Another crisis averted. They found food. And now we come to the story for today. God continued to lead them through the desert of sin. And they naturally grew thirsty again. In the desert, they struggled to find water. Now keep in mind that the human body can survive for many days without food. But our bodies cannot survive very long at all without water. Our bodies are primarily made of water. And so without water, we're eventually going to die. The people were suffering from severe dehydration. Now, my question is that I've been wrestling with is, why would God lead them to another place without water? So it just happened to them in a previous desert. So they go to Moses for help. He was their leader. Being a leader is hard. People expect things from their leader. And so they go and argue with Moses about this water situation. They were dehydrated. They were suffering. And they needed water. And so they're like, Moses, we need water. Where's our water? What are you doing? Moses got mad at them. He's probably like, why are y'all coming at me for water? I don't know where to find water. I'm thirsty too. Moses got very upset because he thought that they were actually going to kill him. So things had probably gotten really intense in the community. And so he goes to God and he's like, God, I need some help here. And God gave Moses some instructions. He said, I want you to go out in front of all the people with the elders of the community. He told them that God would stand there before them. And he told them to strike this rock at Horeb. And he said, water is going to flow from that rock. And sure enough, Moses did this, and water came forth from the rock. Then Moses named the place Massah and Meribah, which means to quarrel and to test, because the Israelite community quarreled with him, and they tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord not here among us? Moses did not want them to forget this moment. when they doubted God's presence there in the desert. So back to my question. Why would God lead them to another place without water? Like I said before, I cannot claim to know God's intentions, but I do have a hunch. I wonder if God led them to another place without water because it was all part of their training. It was part of their formation as the Israelite community. You see, they needed to unlearn the ways of Pharaoh, and they needed to learn the ways of Yahweh. For God is not like Pharaoh. Yahweh provides. Yahweh cares. Yahweh is good, and they needed to learn this. Turning away from Egypt was not easy for them. It wasn't a good place in Egypt, but they understood it. They knew what they were getting in Egypt. However, the wilderness was very unknown. It was risky. It was even a dangerous place. But God was there in the wilderness with them, promising to provide. They had to depart Egypt in the ways of Pharaoh so that they could enter into the wilderness, a place of life and freedom and interdependence, a place of love, a place of God's provision. It was risky to leave behind what they knew. Some of y'all have had to leave behind familiar territory and go into a risky place. It is scary. It is risky. It's risky to enter into the unknown. It was risky to leave the known of Egypt and walk into the unknown wilderness. But over time, they learned that God was there with them in the wilderness. They learned that God provided in the wilderness. And that life with God in this new community was actually far greater than anything they had experienced before. It was through their hunger, their heat exhaustion, their thirst, their pain, their struggle. It was through these hard things that they learned how to trust God. They saw God meet their needs in a dramatic way, unexpected and kind of strange way, to be honest. Perhaps God was showing them that life under the rule of Yahweh was going to be very unexpected and maybe even peculiar at times. I imagine when they saw Moses throw that log into the water at Marah and the water all of a sudden was drinkable, they probably thought, this Yahweh is a strange God, but he just gave us water when we needed it. When the quail would randomly appear at night and then this freaky food manna would appear in the mornings, the Israelite community probably thought, this Yahweh is kind of a strange God, kind of weird actually, but he is providing for us when we need it. When Moses took that staff that he used at the Nile to turn the Nile into blood and then he struck this lifeless rock and water flowed from it, I'm sure they probably thought something like, this Yahweh is pretty confusing and strange. But he just brought life into a place of death. Despite all appearances, water does flow in the desert. This year, 2025, has proven to be a very difficult year. This year has proven to be far worse than I actually expected it would be. It's been a year of wilderness, a year of desert wandering. We may be in the wilderness as a people here in this place and time for a very long time. But despite all appearances, water does flow in 2025. God is still working in us and through us. The wilderness narrative in Exodus tells us that God is present in all situations and that God can provide for us in all situations. We've departed old ways of living. Old ways of thinking right now aren't working for us anymore. We've left so much behind. God can and does make a way in the wilderness. There's water in the desert. These moments and times of struggle, they are part of our formation, and God can use them to bring us closer to Him, to help us learn to trust Him more, to rely on Him more, and trust that God is with us and will be with us through it all. There's one part of this scripture that I really love, and it's God's command that He gives to Moses, and I'm going to read it for you and then explain why I love it. He says to Moses, go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb, strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. What I find interesting about this is that God did provide for the people, but he didn't do it alone. There was a rock. There was the staff. There was the courage of Moses. There was the elders there as witnesses. There was Yahweh's presence on the mountain. And all these things converge. And through them all, God provided for the people. God works in mysterious ways. And who knows, maybe you are part of a larger puzzle, that your courage, or perhaps your vulnerability, or your compassion, your activism, your prayers, your love, your service, maybe it's part, a small piece of a larger puzzle that is bringing life into places of death. Maybe God intends to partner with you to bring water to the desert. Perhaps maybe you are feeling like you're going through a really hard time. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you feel like you are deep in the wilderness. And you wonder, like the Israelites, is the Lord among us or not? This story teaches us that water does flow in the desert. That there is life in the midst of struggle. That God is with you as you travel through the wilderness. And God is likely doing a work that maybe you cannot see right now, but he is doing a work in your life. Perhaps he's teaching you, training you, forming you, and through your struggles, you are becoming more and more like Jesus. It's interesting because in 1 Corinthians, a long time after this story, Paul references this story. And Paul says this, he says, the rock that provided water for the Israelites in the wilderness was actually Jesus. Now, I don't know if Paul was saying Jesus was actually a rock, and he was there in that rock thousands of years before. But I do know that Paul teaches that Jesus is the one who provides for us, that Jesus is the one who nourishes us, that Jesus is, in fact, with us always to the very end of the age. Jesus himself said that he is the living water that never runs dry. Jesus provides for us in a special way, even beyond what the Israelites experienced in the wilderness so long ago. And I believe Jesus is partnering with his followers all across the world to bring water to deserts in every single corner of this planet. As we follow Jesus' example of love and compassion, we join him in bringing water to a very thirsty world. My hope is that through this incredibly challenging season that we're all facing together, that we are learning a similar lesson to the Israelites in the wilderness. My hope is that we are learning to trust God more. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.